Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special updated teaching on Christian philosophy was recorded at our 2012 New England Gospel Truth Seminar. And now, here's Andrew.
In Romans chapter 1, in verse 26, it begins to start talking in verse 21 about progressive steps that people take away from God and how they get further and further and further away from God is what it's describing here. And so in verse 26, it says, "For this cause God gave them up to vile affections." And everything listed from this point on is called a vile affection. The Bible is saying that this is not a good affection. "For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature," talking about lesbianism. "And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet." I think that this is talking about all kinds of sexual diseases and stuff, sexually transmitted diseases, AIDS and things like this. This is not to say that God put these on people. There's just consequences. You know, if you hit your hand with a hammer, it's going to swell up and it's going to get blood in and it's going to hurt and stuff. And God didn't do that to you, but it is laws that God put into practice. I mean, you aren't supposed to smush your hand. You aren't supposed to do certain things. And you aren't supposed to be a homosexual or a lesbian. And if you do it, you are creating perversion that has consequences. And this verse is just saying that it's a just recompense. Not that God is the one that caused it, but there are consequences to the way you act. I'm going to give you some stats and show you that homosexuality is a very destructive lifestyle that takes 20 years off the average homosexual life. It cuts 20 years off of your life. If you were objective, if you weren't trying to be politically correct, if you really cared about people, you would say something about anything that takes 20 years off people's life. And so in verse 27 again, it says, "Likewise the man, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another, man with man, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge." This is a key point right here. And let me just say that, you know what? The reason the homosexual agenda, and all, you could just go on and on and talk about all kinds of immorality and stuff, but the reason people fight so hard against anybody who says this is wrong, it's a destructive lifestyle, the reason they do it is because they do not like to retain God in their knowledge. I could go on and further. I'm just going to say this. I won't spend time on it. But there is a spirit of Antichrist, which the Bible says already works in this world. And we have a spirit of Antichrist at work in the government, in the mainstream media in America that is anti-God. They aren't anti-Muslim. They aren't anti-Buddha. The Muslims, they can get by with anything, but Christians, I guarantee you, Christians are being persecuted and being restricted further and further and further. There is a spirit of Antichrist. Nobody curses using the name of Buddha because Buddha doesn't mean anything. He's dead. But there's power in the name of Jesus. People will curse and use the name of Jesus. And there is a spirit of Antichrist, and it says right here that they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, and because they didn't, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, things that are not good for you, things that are not right and morally correct. Did you know a person, once they start getting into homosexuality, it lists a lot of things right here. Homosexuality is one of the last steps before a person is completely reprobate. The word reprobate means void of any conviction, void of God dealing with them at all. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 4, it says that you can sear your conscience with a hot iron. That's talking about like if you had a wound, you can take a hot iron and sear it, and you can literally scar your flesh, and it'll seal up that wound, but it'll kill all of the nerves. It makes you impervious to pain, and it just deadens you to everything. You can sear your conscience with a hot iron, and homosexuality is one of the very last steps before a person reaches a place of no return. That's what this is talking about. John chapter 6, verse 44 says, "No man can come unto the Father except the Spirit draw him." If God turns you over to a reprobate mind and says, "That's it, you want this lifestyle? Help yourself. I am removing conviction from you." If God ever does that, you're damned. You're doomed. You will never come to God without Him drawing you and without Him wooing you. And people, right here, if you study this out, I'm not going to take the time to read all of it, but if you study this out, homosexuality is one of the very last stages before a person becomes reprobate. So again, in verse 28, it says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers." You know, I can spend a lot of time, but it puts some things here that people consider just to be, you know, maybe not the best thing, but certainly it's just okay. That's just the way I am. I gossip, I whisper, I say a few things. It puts it right in the same category as homosexuality, murder, adultery, everything else. This is a bad list. In verse 30, "Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud." Pride is an evil, evil thing. Proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Put this together with 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, where it lists signs of the end times. And disobedient to parents is one of those things in there. It's a sign that we're in the end times. And it also lists homosexuality over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It calls it effeminate there, but it's talking about homosexuality. And in verse 31, "without understanding," man, is that descriptive, "covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." You know, when I was a kid, I don't think that you could have imagined a day when people would sit there and have gay pride days and parades and make it, you know, some day to honor homosexuals, and they would have parades where people would do these kind of things. That was just unheard of 50 years ago, and yet today it's commonplace. And this is a sign of where our society stands. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind." If you look that up in any other translation, this is talking about homosexuals. Abusers of themselves with mankind is what that is talking about. "Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." And look in verse 11. "And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified." This isn't saying that any person who commits those things will never enter into the kingdom of God, because all of us, if you take this whole list right here, all of us have lied. All of us have done some form of this. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 says, "Covetousness is idolatry." And so if you've ever coveted something, if you've wanted something that somebody else had, you have broken things in this list. But the good news is you can be forgiven of it. I'm not saying that homosexuality is something that we should hate people and we should do bad things to them, but I am saying it is a wrong lifestyle, just like idolatry, just like all of the other things in this list. The Bible says it's sin. You cannot embrace it and you cannot promote it. I'm not against people that have stolen. If you've ever lied, I'm not against you. I'm not trying to beat you down and make you feel condemned. Jesus has forgiven you and you can receive that forgiveness. But I'll tell you, you should quit lying. You should quit stealing. You should quit sleeping around. It's damaging to you. It's not right. And it is absolutely wrong for the body of Christ to promote a lifestyle that is destructive and contrary to God's system. You can give forgiveness to those people and tell them that God loves you and God wants you to set you free, but you cannot sit there and put your stamp of approval on it. It's wrong. Amen. You need to know what the Word of God has to say. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 9. knowing that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind. Again, every other translation puts this as homosexuality is what that's talking about. For man-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Homosexuality is contrary to sound doctrine. And it is not a godly concept, is what this says. In Jude chapter 1, verse 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Do you know a very similar thing is said right here in 2 Peter chapter 2. If you're close, if you're in Jude, 2 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 6, it says, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overflow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. Sodom and Gomorrah, here's two places that say Sodom and Gomorrah was used as an example by God for everyone who lives after about what God's opinion on homosexuality is. Sodom and Gomorrah, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah is listed in Genesis chapter 19 if you want to read it. And two angels went down to visit Lot and his family, and before they went to bed that night, the men of the city, it says, every man in the city came and said, bring these men out that we might know them. The word know in the old King James is talking about intimate sexual relationship. And anyway, God destroyed that city and rained fire and brimstone and utterly destroyed them. That's in the area of the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea used to be lush and beautiful, and if you go to the Dead Sea now, it is just dead and desert.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on Christian philosophy. This five-part series was recorded at our 2012 New England Gospel Truth Seminar, and it's available for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM251 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries, and be sure to specify CD or DVD. The fifth CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the fifth CD when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Also, be sure to check out the TV broadcast link to find out about the Gospel Truth TV program in your area.
I would like to encourage you to pray about becoming a partner with us. You know, we're reaching a lot of people through these radio programs, and the gospel is changing people's lives, but it costs money. I couldn't do this if it wasn't for our partners. I know many of you have been blessed by this teaching, and yet you've received, but you've never become a partner. I'd like to ask you to pray about it. I believe that the Lord is going to impress many of you about joining with us financially so that we can continue and even expand this radio ministry and the television ministry and all of the other things that we do. So please pray about becoming a partner with us, and then respond by calling in and letting us know that you're going to stand with us on a monthly basis.